It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Mariners Pod. Thanks again for being here as the Mariners embark on the road, a 9-game road trip, 3 this weekend in Texas. We'll touch on that a little bit. This is going to be a fun Mariners Pod. I think you'll enjoy it. Harry Ford is going to be here. He's had a really nice season in Modesto, so we check in with the young Mariners catcher to see how things are going. Also, Brandon Gustafson from our flagship station will be here, SeattleSports.com. Really interesting conversation, too, especially if you're not fully aware of what the playoff format looks like this year. It's a little different. And, of course, with the Mariners in the thick of this chase, it's something to certainly be aware of as we head down the stretch. So that fun conversation coming up. 3 games against Texas this weekend. The Rangers actually rolling out a bullpen start tonight. George Kirby will get the ball. Dane Dunning in game 2. Marco Gonzalez will go on Saturday. And then Sunday, Martin Perez against Logan Gilbert. And then Monday, we won't talk about that until Monday, but Shohei Ohtani against Luis Castillo, as apparently Luis Castillo will only be matched up against aces in the American League. So that's going to happen on Monday. So some fun baseball coming up against the Rangers this weekend. We'll talk about it coming up on Monday. In the meantime, let's hear from Harry Ford.
The season has been a huge learning experience, if anything, for me. I'd say at the start, the first half was definitely, it was a weird time, but like being away from home and trying to figure out how to just live on my own and all those little things that go into being a professional baseball player. So it was very stressful, honestly, but as time's gone on and I've gotten used to things and really figured things out, it's been a blast, honestly.
Yeah, it's the part that we never see, right? Because we see the baseball part. You become a professional, but there is so much else that's thrown at you for the very first time.
100%, yeah. It's a lot of stuff you never I never even thought about, you know, just like having to worry about like spending money and keeping the fridge, not letting the food getting spoiled and like keeping a clean apartment, all the little stuff I just never thought about, well, I guess growing up and stuff like that, but it's been a lot of learning for real.
What's been the most challenging part on the field so far?
Probably just like believing in myself, I guess, like the confidence part, because I don't know, it was pretty tough coming into the team with a bunch of older dudes. I've never played with guys that are like 23, 24 before, you know, I'm supposed to be like the leader and like the big first rounder and all that. So that was definitely the biggest challenge for me, was like trying to find my feet, like find my place and just feeling comfortable with everybody and knowing that, you know, who I am and knowing that I'm here for a reason and just, you know, playing with a chip on my shoulder, you know?
So what's been the best part for you on the field so far? What have you enjoyed the most?
Probably just the relationships that I've made with the guys. I don't know, it's a lot different when you're just playing with guys that you don't know and you just met and you're trying to feel comfortable and everything. But like now, I don't know how many games we've played, a million, but like being with the same guys for since early February, it feels like, you know, it's really bonded, really brothers. And like, I trust everyone. I trust the guys to make the plays and they trust me. And like, we all have a really good relationship. So it's awesome being able to play with that.
You allude to a million games. How does your body feel at this point, given how many games you've played midway through July here? It's got to be something to get used to.
Well, my body feels amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like, I know I've been staying on top of trying to keep my body straight and, you know, Because it definitely is a factor of the game, how many days a week we play, and not for however many months. And I don't want that to be affecting me, especially me as a catcher. You know, I do more work than most anyone. And so that keeping my body right and keeping my body where it needs to be has been a major focus for me. And I think I've been doing a good job with that. So I'm feeling great.
As a catcher, what do you feel like you've learned this year?
How much actually goes into being a catcher, like the leadership and being able to control a pitching staff and, you know, just learning the ins and outs of pitchers, because there's so much more than just catching the ball and throwing it back. You know, I got to be the guy that they trust and the guy that leads them and, you know, all the little things people never really think of. And I really never even thought of. So it's definitely been a whole new aspect of the game has been opened up to me, and I'm learning every day.
Looks like you have some pretty fun guys to catch too. Some pretty wicked stuff you see down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a bunch of dudes. Joseph Fernandez throws about like 30 inches of horizontal break on his slider. We got, you know, Mike Morales, all those dudes. I mean, they're all really fun to catch every day.
I know your dad was recently there for a visit. What did it mean to you to have your dad there?
Yeah, he was here for a week, the week of Father's Day.
Oh, so cool.
He flew in from England, and he watched. It wasn't the first time he saw me professionally. He saw me playing AZL, but that was the first time he seen me play in front of fans, so it was cool.
What was that like to have your dad there?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, like, it felt like the game felt so much easier, and I felt like just so comfortable playing. And I got four hits while he was there too. It's just like my dad's always been to like every single game of mine, like all through my life. So whenever he's there, it feels easy.
Mm. For those that don't know, talk about your journey as a kid in baseball and how it all started.
I've been playing baseball since I was about 3-4 years old. It's always been my passion, my love. I mean, I remember my dad being from England, they're big soccer players. So I grew up playing soccer too. And he gave me the choice when I was 8, like whether I wanted to play soccer and baseball, but I went straight for baseball, no turning back. And being a professional baseball player, it's been my dream since day one. And now being here now, honestly, every day I step on the field and I see, and just being at professional stadiums every day and watching a professional game every day, it's like, it's still just a dream come true. And I don't take it for granted a single second, man. Yeah, just baseball is just like my life, my blood, my everything, man.
So your dad was a soccer guy. Was he a cricket guy as well? Did you ever?
Yes, he was.
Have you ever played cricket?
I haven't played cricket. I have been to a cricket game though.
Really?
And it's very interesting. The balls are like wood. Like they're way harder than a baseball. If you got hit with a cricket ball, you might break a bone or something.
They use their bare hands to try and catch it?
Yeah, they do. And my dad always tells me I'm a wuss for using the glove. I just catch 99 with my bare hands.
And don't they go for days? Cricket matches?
Some games do. Yeah, some games. It depends on the style of the game, but some of them can be 6 days, 4 days, 1 day. You're not missing much if you go to a cricket game. You're gonna be there for a while.
Wow. Okay. So, are you a soccer fan? Do you have a Premier League team?
Yeah. I mean, my dad's been an Arsenal fan his whole life, so I kind of took that into. But I really like PSG is my team. I like them because I always play with them on FIFA. So not really. I'm not like a huge soccer fan, but like I like watching soccer. Yeah.
Dan Wilson, Mariners Hall of Famer, former catcher, and he was, I know, down at Modesto recently. Have you had a chance to talk much to Dan and kind of bend his ear a little bit about catching?
Yeah, he was with us every day in spring training. He came out here a couple of weeks ago for the week when we were in Fresno, and I've got he's helped me a lot with catching and just like keeping my head on straight. And I've also just learned a lot from him about like his experience through it all.
Who else has kind of helped during the course of this season?
Oh, I mean, all my coaches, like, they help me every single day. Like, Ryan Scott, Michael Francoso, Nathan Bannister, he just left. He got a new job at GCU. Congrats to him. But also, AD, you know who AD is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know AD. AD's the man. Let me tell you. I mean,
he's the greatest.
He drops wisdom on us anytime I get a chance. He's actually here with us this week.
Oh,
but
that's
yeah,
fantastic.
anytime I get a chance to talk to him, it's like, I mean, he just makes me feel so much better and so much more confident.
When you think about the rest of the season, what do you want to accomplish? What are your goals?
I want to get to the playoffs for sure. I know we've got the team to do it. I want to get to the playoffs. I don't really have any other goals besides that, honestly.
I know Mariner fans have heard your name. I don't think many have seen you play. So for those who have never seen you play, how would you describe yourself to someone that's never watched you?
I'm a beast. I don't know how to put it, but like I feel like I got a little bit of everything. I'm a well-rounded player. I hit the ball far, hit the ball hard, and I play with a lot of passion.
Do you have a favorite moment on the field so far this year?
I say when I went in Inland Empire, probably like a month ago now, I went 4 for 5, and I hit 2 triples and a bomb, and that was the first time I ever got 4 hits in like my whole career, like travel ball, high school, everything. So that was really like an eye-opening experience for me. I was like, dang, like I'm like pretty good. I can really do this, you know? So that was definitely my favorite.
Dude, that's just not 4 hits. A homer and 2 triples?
Yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah, that's a good day. Man, that's incredible. Hey, congratulations. It's been fun to watch you from afar. We'll continue to watch. And thanks for checking in with us. I know we'll catch up down the road as well. But thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Very fun to hear from Harry Ford. And now we're going to talk with Brandon Gustafson. You can follow him. Great follow on Twitter, TheBGustafson. Also, SeattleSports.com. You can see his work there. He and Brent Stecker do a great job. They follow the team as closely as anyone. Their work is fantastic. And I can't recommend it higher. So here is our conversation, which happened right on the heels of that magnificent game against the Yankees a couple days ago.
So full disclosure, as we sit here today, we're recording this before the final game of the Yankees series. So we don't know the result of the Yankees series, but we are kind of basking in the glow of, I can say for me, one of the most incredible games I've ever seen, one of the best games I've ever seen. Brandon, how do you think about last night? What do you think of last night? It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're getting, 4 extra innings with the runner on second, with the ghost runner, didn't have a hit until the 13th to 12th inning in extras. It was just unbelievable. One of the things that stood out is obviously you look at it from a Mariners perspective. It's one of the best pitch games you're ever going to see. The Yankees matched them for 12, 13 innings too. You're never going to see that, especially, like I said, when you have that runner on second base starting every inning.
There were so many things the last night, so many parts to pick apart. And one of them, I was just overwhelmed by the pure stuff we saw on both sides. And for example, 202 pitches last night, 95 plus between the two teams, which is ridiculous.
Took Seawald coming in for it to get a fastball under 95, and then even he hit 95 to end that inning. It's unbelievable.
It really is. And then we're not even talking about the changes and the sliders and everything else, but just the stuff just was dripping of filth that whole game. But you could not have asked for a better start to the tenure for Luis Castillo.
Oh, unbelievable, especially when you consider this is a Yankees team that's not only been the best team in baseball in the American League for really the entire season. Stellar lineup, obviously Aaron Judge as well on his way to an MVP award. But this is the third time he's seen them in 4 starts, seeing them back-to-back outings in his first 2 starts as a Mariner. And he's everything that you wanted from an ace. I mean, Mariners fans have to be just over the moon excited seeing this guy go out there, eight scoreless innings. I mean, and one of the things that stood out to me, Gary, was any other pitcher really in baseball, most pitchers in baseball, they would have gotten the plug pulled on them in that eighth inning. Over 100 pitches, the little bleeder hit from Andujar, and then even if they stay in there, then there's the walk. Most guys don't get that benefit of the doubt, and Luis Castillo got that from Scott Servais in his second start in a Mariners uniform. I thought that was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, that does make a big statement. Deadline's over now. We're into August. We've been talking about the first 20 games out of the gates. It's rough.
For
13
sure.
against the Astros, 13 against the Yankees, and then the schedule gets softer. How are you thinking about things in a general sense at this stage right now?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be feeling pretty good, especially, I mean, we don't know what today's going to look like, but at worst, they're splitting the season series with the Yankees. That's got to be feeling pretty good, and I think they only have 14 games left against teams currently with a 500 or better record. That's a pretty good place to sit. Cleveland just overtook Minnesota in the AL Central race, but you got seven against them. That could be very, very big for both of those teams in terms of the playoff picture. So after you get through this Yankee series, that's definitely going to be the next one the Mariners fans need to circle.
You mentioned Cleveland and Minnesota. How are you thinking about the landscape surrounding the Mariners?
They've got to be feeling pretty good about it. Not a ton of games remaining against those kind of caliber teams. I mean, the White Sox are kind of hit and miss. I think they're definitely a disappointment this year. Yeah. A lot of people expected them to be a lot better than they are right now. But you got a lot of games left against Texas and Oakland. And while the Mariners have had their struggles against Los Angeles and Houston, they've been doing really well against those two teams in particular. So that last half month of the season, it's looking pretty for the Mariners for sure.
If the Mariners are going to push their way into the playoffs, what do you think has to happen? What do you think is the key for this group?
I think that the way that Jerry Dipoto and the front office kind of structured this team at the deadline, they didn't go out and get the big bat. They went out and got Jake Lamb as kind of a complimentary piece, left-handed hitter, but they went out and they got the big front-time ace. This is a team that just really all season long been pitching in defense. It's been a very good starting rotation, and it's been a stellar bullpen. That's the reason that they won that game last night, 13 innings. And again, that's one of the best pitching performances you're going to see top to bottom. So I think that this is a team that's structured to just head into the last month plus of the season, just right in the back of that bullpen and that starting rotation. And as we've seen just day in and day out, they can certainly do that. Yeah. They're really well set up to do that.
The formula is to shut out teams for 13 innings.
if it takes 13 and you can get 13 shutout, hey, you'll take that.
What's your favorite storyline heading down the stretch? Like, what are you interested in?
I'm interested to see how they handle the rotation because, as we've heard, Jerry Dipoto said they don't want to go with the six-man rotation. They're kind of doing that just with the way the schedule worked out with that doubleheader. How you handle George Kirby's workload when, really, these first three starts out of the gate since they called him back up, he's been nails.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. And, you know, you have to worry a little bit about maybe Logan Gilbert's workload. He's I think, 3 innings away from exceeding his 2019 innings workload from when he was in the minors still. So how they handle that. And I know DePoto's talked about a piggyback option for George Kirby, who he pairs with in that situation, I think is going to be really interesting to see, especially if all these guys are able to stay healthy, which that's pretty miraculous that you've had a starting rotation that has been as healthy as this team has had.
The parallels are interesting because the Mariners aren't the only ones dealing with the inning situation, especially with the pandemic season 2 years ago. And Manoah for the Blue Jays is a great example.
Exactly.
He's been the head of the rotation. He's been their guy, but they have like the same, the innings thing is so tricky, but the pandemic year really just made this so difficult.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, guys are getting their innings watched even without a full season of no minor league baseball. They're watching that like a hawk. And then you have somebody like George Kirby who pitched 67 innings in 2019, was only in the alt site in 2020, and then pitched a few innings last year between single A and double A. So there's not really a right way to do it because some guys, as we've kind of seen with George so far, they can handle that. But some guys just, you don't know until it's too late. So it's definitely better to be safe than sorry. And obviously the Mariners are well equipped to do something this year, but they're really well equipped to do something next year. And George Kirby figures to be a big part of that.
That is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because you know, Castillo, Ray, one step further innings-wise with Gilbert and Kirby, assume Marco Flexen in the mix as well. I mean, that is a great place to start with the rotation heading into a season.
Yeah, it feels really good to know that you are in very good shape with your rotation and kind of lets you frame this offseason just hoping to add some impact bats. You know, that's something that we talked about, obviously, a lot last offseason before the lockout occurred, and then we talked about it at the deadline. But when your starting rotation is in just as good of a spot as that is, and they still do have some good talent in the wings in the minor leagues, Emerson Hancock in particular, and we've seen Matt Brash as the reliever, but there's always the possibility he goes and tries to become a starter again too. Really, really great pitching depth for this organization, and going out and getting a guy like Luis Castillo to kind of not just help the rotation, but help the bullpen, and that workload is really incredible too.
Yeah, that's a good point. You always do great work on the site. Tell us what's there, where to find it.
Yeah, seattlesports.com. Brent Stecker and I hold it down every day. Nice. After this game, I'll have some takeaways, little column post, and kind of looking ahead to this upcoming series in Texas. And, you know, we're just kind of... I know I'm personally basking in what we saw yesterday from a pitching perspective. I'm sure we're going to be talking about a lot about that with about Luis Castillo. And I just brought him up a second ago, Matt Brash. I mean, going two scoreless innings against the Yankees while inheriting a runner on second base and making one of the better plays from a defensive standpoint from a pitcher that you're going to see. I think we are going to be seeing a lot of that on our website in these next few days.
Glad you mentioned the road trip, because it's an interesting one. Nine games.
Yeah.
Three Texas, three Angels, three Oakland. What are your expectations for the Mariners in those nine games?
I think they can win six, and I think they should win six, especially Oakland, as we've seen just since the start of this offseason. They're as true of a seller as you've seen, really, aside from maybe Cincinnati. So that's a team that you need to beat up on. You've done a really good job this year of playing Texas, and a lot of those games have been close. You've had to kind of scratch and claw for those, but they've had Texas's number, and for whatever reason, it just kind of hasn't turned the other way as far as the Angels, even though they've been scuffling. So I think they have they have the ability to go out and take two from every single one of those teams, and I think that that's absolutely the expectation for this team at this point.
That's how I've been looking at it. Asking for sweeps in baseball,
It's tough.
No matter who you're playing. They're all major leaguers.
Yeah, you run into a hot starter or something like that, and, I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but when I think about those series and throw Detroit in there and some of the other Kansas City, some of the other teams playing down the stretch, I think it is reasonable to expect, hey, take the series.
Absolutely.
And if they do that the rest of the way with that schedule, they should be in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going out and you're winning three out of every four series or something along those lines, you're gonna be sitting pretty, and I know that they would love to get that top wild card spot and have three home playoff games, not just playoff games for the first time since 2001, but actually hosting three playoff games in your ballpark with Luis Castillo and Robbie Ray and potentially Logan Gilbert or one of those other guys anchoring that third game potentially. That's a pretty good place to be.
You know, you point that out, and that's something that I don't know if it's widely known with the new format. I'm not sure all fans quite realize that
it's
that's
funky.
The case. It is different. Like, the first wildcard spot actually really matters.
Absolutely.
Because of what you just pointed out. It's not like you get a home game if you're
no.
the second. You are going to wherever the first spot is. So, yeah.
If you're assuming that Toronto's kind of going to be one of the top two wildcard teams, which it really looks like, I mean, the difference between hosting three games here at your ballpark versus going up to Toronto, hitter-friendly ballpark, that's a dangerous lineup, and obviously a raucous crowd with an entire country behind them.
Yep.
I mean, that's not a great place to be. But thankfully, I mean, if the Mariners do end up going there, they, like we've talked about, they have the rotation to go out there and shut down really any team in baseball.
It's a massive difference. And then you get to the the mind games of, hey, would you rather go to Toronto for three, or you rather get the third wild card?
Go to Minnesota or Cleveland
for three. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's weird because the way that it is structured, at least this year, it does seem like that second wild card spot is definitely not the place that you want to be. And you wouldn't think that would be the case, because the third wild card spot, you have those teams kind of nipping at your heels. But definitely with the way that it's all structured right now, and just with how good Houston and New York look compared to the AL Central.
Yeah.
I mean, even Toronto, I mean, I think that you make a strong case Toronto or Seattle are the third best team in the American League right now versus those American League Central teams.
Which is why that's reversed too as well. Like, if you're the Blue Jays, you're not excited to come to Seattle.
No way.
And face Castillo in a game one, theoretically, Ray in a game two, and then Gilbert.
Empty the guns. George Kirby, I mean, potentially that multi-inning reliever if you shorten your rotation.
And
for
you know
playoffs.
The crowd here is going to be ridiculous. It works reverse too in that way.
Yeah, and if it does happen where Seattle's that first wild card team and Toronto's too, I'm going to be really interested to see how many Toronto fans are actually able to get tickets to those games.
See, that's the
trick. Because that's the, I mean, Toronto fans travel very well, but just with Seattle, the how close they are to the border, it's a little different than some of these other teams and potentially where Toronto could go. So that's just another element to it, too. I mean, how many Toronto fans would even be able to get tickets to those three games would be pretty interesting to see.
That'd be a great series.
No kidding.
If you had to predict right now, which three do you think are in?
I think Seattle and Toronto definitely. I think Seattle and Toronto are the best two teams of those wild card teams this year, and it's really hard to not root against, but to pick against Tampa Bay. It just seems like every year it's just unsung heroes, but just a lot of injuries. I know the rotation hasn't been quite as consistent, just injury-wise, as years past. A few guys are hurt. Obviously, Shane McClanahan's been incredible for them this year, and you don't want to run into that guy in a wild card game. But it is fun to see that Baltimore. I mean, what Baltimore is doing over there, especially after they traded off two of their best players, Trey Mancini and Lopez, out of the bullpen. I mean, what they've been able to do since that deadline is pretty incredible, too. And I feel like Baltimore is going to come up a little short of Tampa Bay, but I feel like Baltimore this year is kind of like the Mariners of last year, just that kind of out of nowhere, seems like they're maybe a year ahead of schedule type team, just with a lot of fun young talent. And I feel like they're going to make the AL East really interesting next year, potentially.
Well, that would stink for Baltimore if they fell short. Only if they had a big bat in the middle of the order.
That Mancini guy in Houston seems to be doing pretty well the last week or so.
No, your point on Tampa, if they could find a little health down the stretch. I mean, the other day, their pitching coach got hurt going to the mound.
And can't make this stuff up,
man. Yeah, he popped his calf and couldn't go to the mound the rest of the ball game. So, yeah, that's where they're at right now. But if they do, like if Franco comes back, get some more – yeah, they'd be super dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, if they get into that third wild card spot and they're facing Cleveland or Minnesota or whoever it is, would not shock me one bit if they take the first two or two of the three and end up in New York or Houston. Wouldn't surprise me one bit just with the way that team is structured. And they're just, you know, the way they handle their pitching staff, they're just kind of made for playoff baseball. The way Kevin Cash manages games, he just manages every game kind of like it's a playoff game.
Well, and the McClanahan factors you point out, and this is what the Mariners have going for them too, in my opinion, because Castillo is that type of guy.
Absolutely.
And you're talking about a three-game series. You can roll that dude out in game one and get a win in game one. Hey, I mean, you're in great shape. It just everything becomes so intense in a three-game series.
Yeah, I mean, and you saw firsthand last night what Luis Castillo can do in a playoff-type environment. I mean, 8 scoreless innings against the Bronx Bombers. You can talk about Stanton and Rizzo being out. That's still a dangerous lineup, and he held Aaron Judge in check. He held DJ LeMahieu in check. I mean, he was absolutely nails from the word go, and we've seen that from, you know, both of his starts, really. I thought he was not quite as sharp in that first game, but it's hard to be more sharp than he was on Tuesday night. So, yeah, if you're rolling that guy out in game one or game two with Robbie Ray as the other one, I mean, you're talking about maybe the best pitcher in baseball since the month of May started, because people forget he missed all of April, Luis Castillo did.
Yeah.
Talking about pairing him with the reigning Cy Young Award winner, who outside of these two starts against Houston has been absolutely dominant, really, for his last 8, 9, 10 starts, like, yeah, it's not a fun place to be if you're in a posting lineup, that's for sure.
No doubt. This is fun. We'll do it again.
Yeah,
thanks.
You bet. Thanks, Gary.